We got an amazing artist right now, Kuma Shome, who's right here in the studio with us, a Melbourne-based songwriter, guitar wizard, and we're here to talk about everything about him. So we're super excited to have you. How are you, man?
I'm very good. Thanks for having me.
Super thankful. We're super excited. So obviously, like, you're a songwriter and you play guitar. That's your main voice. And
yeah, that's my main voice. Yeah,
exactly. So, and you have a large amount of influence, such as like Jimi Hendrix, Led Zeppelin, and like a bunch of hip hop stuff too.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. So I'm just wondering, like, you know, obviously, like, you've developed your sound and over the years playing guitar for like 17 years.
No, it's actually more.
Oh my god.
I'm gonna actually
underestimate it. Like, yeah.
No, I've been how long I've been playing? I think 21 years now.
Whoa, damn. That's like a, yeah. Well,
yes,
that's,
I know. I'm ancient. I know.
Well, look, it's a development of sound, and you're going from there. So I'm just wondering, like, how is new sounds and, like, obviously you said hip hop. Like, how have those artists from old to new intensified and kind of created your sound today?
Oh, have they created my sound? Well, yeah. It's just like, I mean, the thing is, like, when you're tapping into one, I guess, like learning music, when I've always been tapping into, like, the classics of, you know, obviously rock and blues and jazz, anything as that. But sometimes you want to, you know, progress into new stuff, so you have to look into new kind of art forms and all that. I've looked into a bit of EDM, I've looked into a bit of... Yeah, like, I know, yeah, it's like, there's been a few times, like, I've got this one classic Deadmau5 record. I think it's
sick.
Oh, wow. Pretty sure it's Brazil. I think it's that one.
Oh, no way.
Do you know that one?
Yeah, no, I know Deadmau5. So that's like really crazy because when I hear your music, it's just like, it's so jammy and so like communal. So that's really cool that you kind of put different elements to it.
Yeah, I think it's just like you always want to search for new sounds and you want to be like of the time, I guess, you know, of the kind of current thing, you know. And sometimes, you know, it's not just, yeah, you can only take from so much, and then if you take from so much, are you original?
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's like it's all crafting at the end of the day. So
yeah.
Like, yeah, 100%. So like obviously, you know, you go from the original such as like Jimi Hendrix and Led Zeppelin and
all
those kind of artists. Like, I don't know, I hear a bit of like Carlos Santana when I hear you.
Yeah, they've definitely gone through that phase as well, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just wondering like what was the first like artist that kind of sprung you?
The first artist that sprung me, it's a bit of a curveball. I don't know if you guys know him, but like the way I kind of, like, I mean, like, when I was, like, young, 13, it was just, like, Tablature, and I was just, like, learning grunge rock. I was from the era of, like, you know, like, Silverchair and Rage Against Machine and all that kind of stuff.
Legendary.
No wonder.
So I was, I loved all that stuff, but, like, the thing that really made me want to, like, pursue it more as, like, a solo voice, if you will, was, like, I listened to a lot of this jazz guitarist guy called Wes Montgomery.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys have known him. Maybe your listeners might know him, but...
That's cool.
But he was, you know, it was really good, and that was a big influence. It's like, okay, this guy can take it to the main, you know, the next level and just be like, you don't have to be a singer as well, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, it was good like that, and so I really listened to a lot of him, and then that's how I got into jazz music, and...
Yeah.
And then I got into a lot of, like African and Latin music was because of my cousin's record collection and just, fascinated with just, like, putting this piece of, you know, wax on. I was like, oh, this is how it works.
Yeah.
Like, actually reading the instructions, like, place this, you know, on the actual...
It's like a formal, like celebratory, like...
Yeah, I just don't want to make a mistake, you know. It's just, like, very expensive things, you know. Like, you break it, it's like, oh, you know.
For sure. Well, like, I don't know. You can hear songs like Stromae where it's very, like, hard and gritty with, like, the blues tones and very, gritty and the soulful. It's so dense in your guitar tone. So like that's so crazy to hear, like, you know, different influences of jazz and like grunge. Like that's like heart and soul and like technique kind of pushed into one. So that's really cool.
Yeah, well that's the kind of aim I wanted to do. Like with this album I'm making, it's meant to actually tell the story of the first time I actually approached original music when I was like in 2010. Because like prior to that, the way it all started was, you know, is when I was 22, I was very honored to have toured with this band called the Cat Empire.
No way!
Yeah. So and they asked me to do the. I recorded on their album because I also play a bit of sitar as well, and
cool.
I recorded on their album.
Amazing.
Cities, and we were just sitting by the beach one time, and we're just talking about like, man, you just got to do this, you know, got to actually do it. And so I did it. I was just put it out there and
exactly,
and see what happens, and you know it was good response, and then made another one. It was a pretty good response as well, and then like I was kind of like I was essentially getting back to like the whole Stromae thing is it was it's just like the whole album and how that song fits into the whole thing. It's just telling the story of like the last kind of I guess like close to 10 years of doing original music.
Like personal development growth from like learning in Cat Empire, especially for a jammy band like Cat Empire and like such a technical band. So it's like really cool kind of like go from there to, you know,
absolutely. Well, yeah, I've been fortunate to work with a lot of great artists over the years and all that, being the sideman to them and, yeah, it's just a learning process about
it's your
that.
Time to shine, man. That's what's
yeah,
up.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what people tell me, so...
Exactly.
Yeah, this is...
Well, look, the Stroma is an absolute tune. Like, you can't go wrong with the absolute aesthetic of the whole track, and it's, there's so much going on. So, like, as I said, my question is, obviously, like, with so many things going on and your guitar lines being the front of it, how did this song come about, and, like, how did you... Like, was, like, a specific line that started off? Was it the main chorus lick, or was it just, like...
The main chorus lick? How did it start off about... Well, it's just, like... With all my kind of tunes, I always start off, like, I always like to record ideas. I have ideas on my phone, voice memos, put them down.
Amazing.
And I develop them.
Yeah.
And I see how we go, garage band, you know, let's do this. It gets a bit mathematical and methodical at times, but I try to, I shouldn't actually talk about that. I shouldn't say that. It's like, it's all, like, you know, it's all...
It's all organic.
It's all, like, all organic, you know, it came from the thing.
Like, we jammed it one time.
You know, but,
First 45 minutes, done.
But yeah, exactly. There's an help. Bang. You know? No, but, like, yeah, I've definitely... It's definitely from the main chorus line. Yeah, I just tried this and, you know, it was... Okay, well, how can I match chords? Usually I always start off with the melody first and I'll try harmonize it with chords.
Oh, wow.
And I'll... I usually kind of visualize or imagine how... I want things to actually sound and all that. And usually what comes next is, like, the sections, like those verse sections and all those, okay, what can I do there? And usually it's, like, something I took from Bob Dylan is, like, how he always talks about the umming and ahhing through the melodies. You know about this? Like, he always
it's
just,
a little,
like,
breaks in between where, like...
You know. Well, yeah, he just, like, when he's just kind of, when you're in that zone of, you know, creativity or spontaneity and all that, you just want to, you often kind of um and ah, like...
Is this okay? Like, yeah.
Well, yeah. Always, when I mean amana, it's just kind of all the muttering or just kind of like sounds. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Just like melodies that just come
to
fruition. It's like it makes no sense. It's just.
It just happens.
It's kind of scatting, if you will.
Yeah, for sure. Well, especially the jazz elements and, like, you know, putting all those different elements as a band too. So that's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, like, obviously, I want to talk about quickly about that. So, like, especially with this song, it's such a jammy, all-rounded song with different elements, different instrumentations. So, like, obviously, you started with a guitar, because that's your forefront,
voice. It's three guitars, bass and drums. We recorded it live.
Oh, wow, it's all live.
With few overdubs. Obviously, the mixing process...
It's so tight, though. That's crazy.
Like, rehearsals. Rehearsals help.
Like, I get that, but,
rehearsals,
like,
and good musos, you know?
Yeah,
like,
that's true, but, like, it just feels so tightly knit that, you know, you just couldn't tell if it was live or not. But that's so crazy that when you go see you live, that it'd be the exact same.
Yeah, it'll be close to it, yeah. It's like, I tried when I, obviously there's like some layers which are like, it's like, you know, there's a riff.
Kicking
and it
up,
sounds mighty because it's like four versions.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So yeah, there's obviously, like, you know, like...
Fair.
But it should be the same kind of intensity level live.
For sure.
We're
playing
the live show very soon, so very exciting.
100%, love that.
Well, I just want to say I really appreciate your originality. It's really nice. I feel like sometimes artists lose that. They lose that sort of, like...
Organic
their
process,
original organic taste, because they're just so stuck in do this one thing. Oh, I'm pop, so I have to be pop, and I only create pop music.
Yeah.
And you just flip it, and you're something else, and then the next day you're something else. Anyway, I want to talk more about the jazz aspect.
Yeah.
So you sort of self-described as jazz rock.
Yeah.
What made you sort of fall into jazz? I know we've already sort of talked about it, but, like, what really, like, brought you into jazz, and maybe, like, an artist or some artist that you just, like, look up to?
Well... Okay, that's...
Is that a hard question?
No,
sorry.
That's not a hard question. There's a few questions in that.
Yeah.
I'll answer the first one. So how I fell into jazz, well, it started off, like, when I was at high school. I went to a good high school, and they had, like, I don't know if you guys know about, like, they've got these big band competitions. Like,
Things, kind of vibes, yeah.
Yeah, like, things, they have Generations in Jazz and all these, like,
bands. Oh, I know Generations in Jazz.
So at the school, the biggest, you know, I guess... privilege, if I say, is, like, you know, if you get to be in those bands, it's like, you know, it's a high level thing, and you get to go and tour and go around the country. I went to Adelaide one time, so I was in the high school stage band.
Whoa.
And I just started, like, because I knew some chords, and I was, like, listening to this guy, and I was getting really involved, and a lot of the horn players didn't know how to solo, and I just had that. So I was just, and, like, I was, like, I was given all this stuff, so, okay, I was, you know, being kind of naive and just like, oh, just go for it.
Yeah.
Little did I know how hard it was. So I really practiced a bit too much, maybe.
Yeah.
And from there, you know, like, I just kind of met more, a lot of people, I guess, my age group, and there was all these kind of things, like, you know, Melbourne Youth Music and all that.
Yeah.
We hang out together, we did gigs together, and... Yeah, and then everyone's just talking about, just we're trading a lot of CDs, you know, like all that kind of stuff.
Love that. It's like little trading cards. You're like, check out my stuff. Like,
oh, yeah. It's just like, well, trading and burning. Lots of trading and burning. Yeah, like, you know, there's like a drive with like, well, I wouldn't, you know, how many albums, I will not say, but, you know, a lot of albums.
For sure. Well, obviously, we're going to play your song, Stromer, in a sec.
Mm.
And, you know, obviously, you know, it's such a grand live stage kind of feel. Is that something that we can expect, like, in the future yes. with live shows? Like,
well,
they're more instruments. Like, tell us all about it.
Okay, so, well, look, I mean, we're going to record just a couple more tracks. And, yeah, I am playing the live show as we speak. I've already, like, figured out, like, you know, stage setup and, like, you know, segues, all could that kind of stuff. Peeks. So now I'm just thinking about lights and all this kind of stuff. I've done, like, enough shows now, like, you know, just done a few tours and all that, and I've learned so much, and it's like, you for know, sure. like, what I had is a vision. Now it's just continually evolving.
Yeah.
And I haven't taken yet that first live step yet, so...
Yeah.
Trying to, you know, I want to try, you know, as we all want to try to get it right the first time. So.
Exactly. You know, it's plan, then hope for the best that's going
to
do it.
Yeah, there's a lot of ideas, but I'll keep some of them to myself just now.
Fair. Is there a favourite song that you're keen to play, or is that like another secret? Is there a favourite song you're keen to play in the live shows?
Oh, I mean, you know, how can you choose amongst all your children, you know? Like, that's the thing, you know? Like, they're all so unique. I don't know. We have to play the live show, and then there might be a group consensus, yeah.
New chemistry found. Can't wait.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
So just before we play your track, apart from the show that's coming up, do you have any more plans to release more albums like that?
Well, yeah, I'm going to release a remix of Stromer next week.
Oh, sick.
Or maybe, I think, following week. It's going to be released, like, within the month and all that. This guy called this DJ guy by the name of Set One.
Okay.
You may have not known it, but if you...
What a cool name, though. Like, yeah,
it's like Set and W-U-N.
Oh, is it not even, like, actually what W... Oh, okay, cool. That's sweet.
I think, yeah, just because otherwise it'd be Setone, and it's like, who's Setone?
Just sounds like a majestic person.
Anyway. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, love that. Well, thank you so much, Akuma, for coming in, man.
Like, no, thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it. Yeah,
man. Thanks so much. Glad to do that. Yeah, a little applause. You can check Kuma on his socials and on the hoist. So,
yeah.
Fun times. Go check out this track we're going to play right now. This is Stromer featuring the Punkawallas. You're on the hoist right now with Eartha and Nathan.